I realize that they're more childish, and I realize they have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
I mean, does anyone really know what the fuck they're doing?
No, but a lot of parents, when you're growing up, act like they know what they're doing.
Exactly. And then when you reach a certain age, you realize that they actually don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Everyone since the history of man has just been fucking winging it.
Welcome to Chat in the Dark. This is your host, Mint, and today we have KZK on. So, KZ.
Yeah?
As a fellow member of our Discord friend group, who sort of recently, kind of recently, it's been a while, it's been a minute, recently got in a relationship, what were some key differences in how you interact with people online and in person?
I feel like I'm probably a little bit less open to open up, but I don't know. I don't talk to a lot of IRL people to begin with. your boy's a hermit. I mean, honestly, not a whole lot has changed. Just, like, I talk to people. Like...
You talk to us less.
And honestly, that's... the relationship is part of that, and it's just because I'm a lot busier.
Yeah.
But it's also just because I'm a busier person in general than I used to be.
Just like, that's fair. And I think it's because we're sort of entering normal life again. Or at least we're trying to, so people have been having more things to do outside of, like, being in front of their computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
You say you're a hermit, meaning introvert. Do you think the ability to make internet friends these days is an introvert's dream, so to speak?
Pretty much. Because, like, in a way, there's no commitment. Because, like, if Mint pisses me off, okay, bye.
Yeah. Or if, like, you do say something or, like, open up to people on the internet and they don't respond the way you want them to respond, you could just ghost them.
Yeah.
Very convenient. Also, it makes you think, because, like, sometimes you're like, I tell these people, like, so many things about myself, but then it's like, are you actually close to them, or are you just using them as a way to, like, dump your shit?
Yeah, just as a way, because sometimes it's hard to tell people stuff IRL, especially, like, deep, like, what you're thinking, like, deep personal stuff, I guess. It's hard to tell people that IRL, just because...
They don't go away like that.
Yeah, and they're just gonna sit there and judge you. If they are, then you can't just, you know, tell them to fuck off or anything.
You can't just hop off a call.
Yeah, here, you just, hey, bye, click, block, never have to deal with you again.
Do you think the pandemic has led you towards internet friends, or have you had internet friends before?
Oh, towards internet friends, 100%. Because, like, before, I didn't have time to, like, go online, like, make friends and whatnot. Because, like, I had to go work, and then I get off at 5, and then I come home, and then I want to kill myself. I mean, go to sleep. And then, okay, COVID comes along, and I don't have to work anymore. I live off unemployment. It's lonely. I don't talk to a whole lot of people outside of work, so
yeah.
Time to go online and try to not feel as lonely.
Yeah. So, like, during the time that our Discord group... Whoa, what did I just say? During the time that our Discord group became, like, a thing, which is, I think, around October?
Around September, October-ish.
Yeah, like, early October, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I had, like, just moved into a new, like, student housing place off of campus, and I didn't have friends with... Like, I wasn't friends with anyone in my building. And it was still during the pandemic, so I wasn't, like, going out seeing people. Like, I didn't even have, like, my family to, like, you know, yell at. It was just me sitting by myself in my room, not even going to in-person classes. It just felt like a safe place to make friends.
Yeah, we just had, during COVID and whatnot, we just had so much time to do other stuff. To kind of just explore.
I like it, though, because now I have friends from, like, different places. Granted, most of them are, like, you know, East Coast, same time zone, but then there's also people like Princess, who's in a completely different, like, country.
Yeah, I did not go into Whisper that one night thinking I was gonna talk to someone from New Zealand.
Yeah.
There
were a couple people from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Have you had internet friends before, or was this, like, the first time?
I had, like, not really internet friends. Like, we'd played something together. We might have, you know, played that night, and then that was that. But, like, this is the first time I had, like, real, like, internet friends, where it's like, I, you know, I talk to them on a day-to-day, or at least at a, well, now, like, a somewhat regular basis.
Once upon a time, when we had time.
Yeah. Fuck having a wife and all that.
Like, it's not just you. Like, for the most part, we could go, like, days without, like, a single message in this Discord group.
I know. I've noticed. It's all just... It seems a little more... It seems a lot quieter. Because I remember, like, during COVID and whatnot, I would, like, wake up in the morning. And again, I had nothing to do. I lived off unemployment. I stayed home all day and did whatever the hell I wanted. And I would... I'd go to bed after getting off a call with, like, you and Princess at our, you know, famous stay up until, like, 7 in the morning looking at... Mm-hmm.
It was only 7 in the morning for us. For her, it was like... Like, she would go to sleep before us.
Yeah.
Such sad.
I'd go to bed, like, right after getting off call, and I'd wake up and see what all has been going on in the Discord, and there would be, like, tons of stuff to read through.
Yeah, because me and Ref, we would talk a lot in the Discord servers for no apparent reason at, like, weird hours.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it still sometimes happens, but, like, not in, like... The servers. I think we just DM each other now.
Well, that, and it's nowhere near to the same extent.
Yeah.
Like, if there is a big, long conversation in you know, the server, it's like, it's a shock nowadays to see, you know.
It really is.
These people were talking for, like, 7 hours.
Yeah. I think part of it is, though, when we first all became friends, we were still learning about each other, and not just like what we do with our lives and like what's happened to us, but like also where we are like mentally and like how we view things and our like perspective and opinions on things.
Oh yeah, of course. And also on top of that, you know, we all met around the peak of Amogus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We all but no, met but,
like, even
that
after peak. Even after playing Among Us for like 5 hours, we would stay on call and just talk for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Not every time, but sometimes. Yeah, I think that now the only times we like actually talk is if something does happen. I feel like a lot of things just doesn't.
Yeah, not really. It's just no one's lives, as far as I'm aware at least, is particularly eventful. At least all the time.
Yeah.
Like, mine was eventful for a bit, but, like, I was gone for most of it, so...
Yeah. It's basically just, like, shit that happens to people.
Yeah.
It's, like, completely out of their control.
Yeah.
They either decide to talk about it, or they go MIA.
Okay.
They tell us that they're gonna go MIA.
Yeah. I've done both.
No, you but okay. The time that you said you were gonna go MIA, you didn't actually go MIA.
That's true, I did it.
But you're still, like, reachable. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like, I always see, there's a message, you know, from whoever.
Yeah.
Like, I'll respond to it. I'll look at it. Like, I'll let you know, hey, I haven't, like, jumped out my window or anything.
Let's talk about your relationship.
Oh, boy.
At the beginning of this relationship, it was an attempt of polyamory.
But
you learned... That specific dynamic of the three of you did not work out.
I feel maybe from that, and maybe just from other just people I've talked to who have at the very least tried it. It might not be a good idea in general. Maybe there's some freak of nature trio of people where that could work. In which case, good shit on them. Not me. And it's also just because I feel like a relationship. It's already two people who have to put their all into it.
Yeah.
And adding more people doesn't make it easier.
So I'm on all sorts of weird sides of TikTok. So I do sometimes end up on polyamorous TikTok. Uh-huh. And I do like hearing the perspectives and stuff. And for the most part, it's like you can love someone, but they can't satisfy your like every need, if that makes sense.
What? Okay.
Like not like your sexual needs or like whatever like that, but like your like hobbies or like stuff like that.
Yeah, I get that.
And there's like ways to connect with other people. And like I know a lot of people can't physically see themselves loving more than one person, but I know there's some people that can very much, maybe not equally, because I know a lot of people in polyamorous relationships have like their main boyfriend. Not everyone. Some of them are like a solid trio, but then like the more webby dynamics, they have like their main partner, uh-huh, and then they have like other partners.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I get that. After my experiences, it's just, I feel like I couldn't do it again. It was too much stress. And I think a big part of it was how that relationship was. I was not like, oh, they did not genuinely want a third person. Their relationship was already down the shitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was, I guess, the last attempt to make it work, which, I mean,
yeah,
it kind of worked. Their relationship went to shit, but I got a good relationship out of it.
Do you want to give the listeners a short summary of what happened?
I met a guy on Tinder. We hit it off. He had a fiance. I met them. It was a polyamorous relationship. You know, everything seemed to be going well. Then it turns out the guy I met was a toxic piece of shit. kicked his fiance out. I was there for her because she wasn't a toxic piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So then after a while, they're completely done. You know, they don't talk to each other anymore. And I start dating her.
Mm.
That's the short story of it.
Yeah. Yes. I remember, I don't think I was able to like really join many of the calls for this, but I remember every, like, when this was all happening, you'd, like, come on call and, like, just rant.
Yeah, I did. There was a lot of calls where I came on a rant. I'd come on and rant about, oh, I met this guy. He seems really cool.
And oh, I remember when you were simping for this man's real hard.
Oh, yeah, I was. And then there was a call where everything about the relationship went to shit, and I got a problem with everyone and cried about it.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah.
So, okay, personally, I think, when you told us that this was like a polyamorous relationship before anything went down, like when you first told us that he had a fiance, that you were dating both of them, I recall me thinking, KZK can't do this.
Hey, damn, are you right?
It's not like a bad thing. I just think you're.
I am too sensitive. I need commitment.
You said it.
Oh, because I'm aware. Literally my entire life.
Yeah. I think you're just more emotionally aware and awake. And I don't know. I just couldn't see you being in a relationship with two people equally.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think you're someone that would put your all into a relationship. And that wouldn't work if you had to put your all twice.
Oh, I've put my all into a lot of stuff. You know, my job, that treats me like shit. That relationship was treating me like shit. Treated each other like shit. I was just kind of there.
Okay, so end of the day, you probably would not try polyamory again.
Not again, no. Absolutely not. It couldn't be me.
So even if your current girlfriend asked you to, you would not?
Yes, but also, like, I don't think I'd be comfortable with it. But at the same time, I don't think there's a world where she would do that.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I think it's because we both had to deal with that.
Yeah.
And it sucked ass.
I mean, okay, there's also the fact that, like, if your partner, not her specifically, but any partner, asks you to do something that you were uncomfortable with and, like, expected you to say yes and be okay with it, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. I feel that's... There's a line you gotta know not to cross.
Yeah.
To a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And obviously, if you were gonna enter the situation again, you would have to set your strict boundaries beforehand, because that was part of the issue with...
There were no strict boundaries.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Everything... And here's the thing with that, and it's mainly because of the guy, everything moved so fast. Second date.
Yeah.
I'm at their apartment. We're in bed. Things are getting a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And, saucy.
Yeah. Spicy.
And like I couldn't, everything went so fucking fast. Like it was also, there was no boundaries, everything moved really fast. He was basically, he was a toxic piece of shit to her, but like he was good to me. But
for like the minuscule amount of time you spent with him.
Yeah. But like once like, you know, I got to know, you know, her, my current girlfriend, his ex-fiance, and I realized, like, damn, he lied about a lot of stuff. He, you know, he, not even, like, particularly lied, but just, like, he acted differently around me than he did her. Like, he was two completely different people.
I think that's just, like, a form of manipulation, though.
Yeah. And I look at a lot of stuff he didn't know, like, yeah, he fucked you over. He fucked us
over. Yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that, like, even, like, okay, I remember that night he said, okay, she told me, like, he told me to go look for a new apartment. And then the next day he's over here begging her, like, don't go, don't leave me, whatever. And I think, why are you going to sit here and get bitchy and complain about, oh, she's leaving me?
Yeah.
You know, you kind of made her, like, you told her to leave. And then I'm like, well.
You told her to leave and expected her to come back.
Yeah. God, there's so much I could rattle on about him. And I didn't spend as much time with him as she did.
Yeah.
Most of my bullshit stories about him are from her. Like, his mother was a fucking nightmare, from what I can tell from her. And I would say, what's that senator down in Georgia, whatever, Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever her name is? Her and the guy's mom would get along very well. I hate saying the word Karen, because I've worked with a lady named Karen for about 4 years now, and she's pretty cool, but, like, she's a Karen.
It's just a term. It's not referring to anyone actually named Karen.
Yeah, I know.
But wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I can see that.
Yeah.
Like, he was East Asian, right?
Cambodia, yeah.
East Asian?
I know Richard Nixon bombed it during the Vietnam War out of nowhere, so.
So Southeast Asia?
Below Vietnam, I think.
Southeast Asian. Not specifically Southeast Asian. I'm also Asian, but, like, there's some Asian parents that are very, like,
well, here's
are you
thing.
For real?
He's not. His parents are not Asian. He was born in Cambodia. We have no idea.
He was adopted.
He was adopted. And his parents are, like, white. Like, Jesus Christ, they put salt on food and think that's spicy white.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know we don't like him, but I feel bad for him. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still feel bad for people that you don't like.
Yeah.
Pity them. They probably hate that more.
I don't know what he's doing now, but fuck it.
That's okay. He's not important to anyone's life.
Nope.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say that. He's not important to your life anymore, so.
Not my life. Not anyone I have to interact with.
Yeah. Anyway. I was going to say something and I forgot. Yep. Nothing new there. What was I going to talk about? Was it going to be about toxic people?
I kind of. I mean, I've worked with stupid teenagers for about 4 years. If you want to know toxic, I think I got toxic. I know that.
Oh my god. Okay. So, when I was in high school, I never had to deal with any, like, drama. Like, yeah, I saw some drama, but I was never involved, and my friends were never involved. We just, like, saw it or heard about it.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, years after high school, like, I'm about to turn 23, so much petty shit has been coming up, and not just for me. Like, my friends have been dealing with some petty-ass shit at home, and, like, with their friend groups, too, and I'm like, Why is this, like, happening? But, like, the fact that, like, me and my friends who are all, like, in our early 20s, like, either about to graduate university or, like, already graduated university, and we're dealing with, like, high school-level petty drama that, like, could be easily avoidable, not by us, but, like, by communication.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
And the other parties just, like, refuse to communicate with us.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more or less just I dealt with all that in high school. And maybe I just didn't get as Hey, it's because I actually talked to people back then.
and now you don't, so you don't have to deal with it.
Exactly. Because for the most part, my family's rather uneventful. I mean, there's probably some petty shit, but, like, I don't care. Doesn't concern me.
Yeah. Also, speaking of parents, I feel like the older I get, the more childish I realize my parents are.
Yeah. I realize that they're more childish, and I realize they have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
I mean, does anyone really know what the fuck they're doing?
No, but a lot of parents, when you're growing up, act like they know what they're doing.
Exactly. And then when you reach a certain age, you realize that they actually don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Everyone since the history of man has just been fucking winging it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, we've just been winging it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I think now it really helps with current climate. Not like weather, but like social climate. Where we have so much discourse and so much arguments between like older and younger people. Like, I feel like there's always going to be arguments between the old generation and the new generation.
Yeah, there's always going to be generational differences.
But now, I feel more now so than ever, they're really apparent. They're really, really apparent.
I think it might be because there are such big differences.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we have been growing as a community so much faster recently because of, the age of the internet.
Yeah. People know the spread of information is just so...
Yeah.
There's information being spread around so much. You can learn about anything you want because you have a phone in your pocket right now. Every piece of knowledge is available.
Yeah, basically. And it's just how you decide to use all the information. Or even to look up things, because I feel like my parents just don't bother.
Yeah. That's another thing. It's just people's, I guess, hesitancy and unwillingness to just, adapt to the new, the fact that, oh, now we have every piece of information in our pocket.
Yeah.
Back then people had to go and read a book or go learn about it in school or college or whatever, which obviously that's still a thing, but...
But also, I find it funny how, when I was in high school, if I asked a question to my parents and they didn't know the answer, they'd just be like, Google it. But now they refuse to Google anything.
Yeah.
I got in a full argument with my parents because I casually mentioned how corn and tomatoes came from the New World, from Americas. And then Europeans just spread it out to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, no, we had corn for ages in India. I grew up eating corn off the streets. And I'm like, America has existed longer than you were born, Mom.
Yeah, that's true.
Not existed, but has been discovered by the Eastern world.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up for them on Google, and they're like, you can't believe everything Google says. And I'm like, okay.
I think, I don't know, I hear that, specifically the, you can't believe everything you find on Google. And I don't know, because old people kind of get on my nerves, honestly, when it comes to stuff where it's like, oh, I know this because I was around back then. It's like, yeah. You might know that, the Civil Rights Act got passed in 1964 by Lyndon B. Johnson, but you don't know that, that was not the end of racism. It kind of kept going.
It didn't end anything. It was just a piece of paper that tried.
Yeah. I think a big part is just, I don't know, so things so much have, the boomer generation compared to us. Things progressed incredibly quickly comparatively to, I don't know, the generation that fought the Civil War and then, their kids. Technology, obviously, yes, it progressed, and there were changes to society and whatnot, but they were nowhere near to the extent that we have now. Everything got way too fast. It took so many people so long to just catch up.
I also think that, some people of the older generations expect us to have to deal with the same shit that they had to deal with. And yeah, they have their own issues, but we have different issues, and some of them just refuse to accept that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, oh, this is nothing compared to what I had to deal with when I was younger. And I'm like, well, you dealt with this so that we wouldn't have to deal with it. Yeah. Some things, certain things. And now we have other issues that we have to deal with now that those issues that you were concerned about aren't as much in the forefront anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. When you grew up, you always had to live in fear that the Soviet Union was going to bomb the fucking entire country. But now, us growing up, we have to live in fear with the fact that we probably won't be able to afford, like, we won't be able to afford rent.
Yeah. And then there's those people that are like, I worked part-time and I was able to pay off my college or, like, student loans and,
because
like,
the student, like that. Because the cost of living was so much lower.
Exactly. Now. And, like, some people just refuse to accept that. And then also refuse to raise minimum wage. And I'm like, how do you expect this?
And what? Then they get lazy when you tell them, when you quit your shitty minimum wage job and they call you lazy. Like, you're so ungrateful. Like, fuck off. I need to make money. I'm an adult.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I have some sort of self-respect when they're not treating me right.
Exactly. And people, my managers at, you know, I still work there, but only on weekends. So, like, the job I've been working for, like, 4 years now, they still kind of give me shit. Like, why are you only around on weekends? I'm like, well, working weekdays is ass, and you don't pay me enough to work weekdays. Or give that much of a shit about this place. So, I mean, I'm literally only around because, you know, some of the people who work here are cool.
The saving grace.
That's kind of the reason I stay around.
Yeah. I also like saw this somewhere where like some people were complaining about like service workers quitting their jobs and how there's like a job shortage or worker shortage, not a job shortage in some like service industry jobs. But like people forget that these are people that were working through the pandemic.
Uh-huh. We called them essential during the pandemic, and then once the pandemic ended, we told them to eat shit.
But, like, at the same time, the amount of people that risk their lives and have actually died because of that, like, people are like, oh, people are just quitting. No, people are also dying.
Yeah. Maybe not to the same extent as, you know, the peak of COVID and whatnot, but still, it happened.
But people were still working during the peak of COVID.
Yeah.
Because they were essential jobs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, restaurants are only essential jobs to people that could afford it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, obviously, like, oh man, McDonald's disappears from the world. That's gonna kind of suck, but I mean, like, we'll move on.
Yeah, we'd move on.
Chicken nuggets, you know, there's other places, or, you know, go to the grocery store, get some chicken nuggets.
Also, this is a little off topic.
Right.
You just reminded me of chicken nuggets, and I thought it, Chick-fil-A. So apparently Pfizer, I don't know how accurate this is because I only saw it for a moment. I didn't actually look it up. Pfizer apparently donated some money for some anti-LGBT shit during Pride Month.
Damn.
And all these people in the comments were like, do I have some internalized homophobia now? But I'm gay, but I have Pfizer.
Damn. Pfizer tried to get away from some slick shit and they got caught in 4K. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love it when businesses get caught in their shit and then they have to respond and their PR team is just like, we're fucked, guys. I don't know what to do.
But there's some people that don't see the issue of being anti-LGBTQ+.
Because that is this generation's, obviously back then, people were, like, super discriminatory and racist towards, you know, anyone not white. Especially in America. It's like back then they were like, well, I don't see the issue with not liking black people or whatever. And now it's like, that's a fucked up thing to say nowadays. But nowadays our thing is, well, now I don't see the issue with not liking the gays or whatever. It's like, here in,
I guess, 20, that's true.
30 years, that's going to be a fucked up thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's already pretty fucked up in our generation to say that.
Yeah, we're in that weird sort of transitionary period of it, but, like, it's still kind of a big thing.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so the last episode I recorded was with Edgy, and they're non-binary, so I was talking to my mom about them, and I kept using, like, their pronouns, they, them. So confused.
I dread the day I have to explain that to, like, my grandma or something, where they ask me about that, like, what's a non-binary person? And then I have to sit there and explain that, and they're going to be like, I don't get it. Like,
she wasn't even necessarily being like, oh, that makes sense. Like, they don't. She wasn't saying anything about them not identifying as a girl or a female. Oh, whoa, that's the same thing. As a girl or a guy, that's not where her issue was. Her issue was that they is supposed to be plural. And I was just sitting here like, grammatically, it doesn't have to be plural. But English is also not her first language.
Yeah, because,
like, she didn't grow up on English, but she's not like, she, I don't know, she didn't learn it the same way that we learned it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
But like they then can't be like referred to a singular person again.
Yeah. Like, oh. Like if you're referring to someone where you don't know their gender, like if you're just like, oh, my boss, I don't know if they're a guy or like a guy or a girl, I would refer to them as they. Uh-huh. And like she couldn't wrap her head around that. And I was like, mother.
I mean, I don't blame her because English is kind of a bullshit language.
It is. Again, it is.
How the fuck am I supposed to know that psychic starts with a P?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The next time someone asks me, hey, what type of Pokemon is Alakazam? I'm going to call it a psychic type. And they're going to say, that's fucking stupid. I'm like, I know.
I feel like that's happened to you before.
It has.
Okay. That was like very specific.
I know.
Speaking of Pokemon, do you want to talk about your hate for Nintendo?
I love to bash Nintendo.
Okay, to start off, what was your original reasoning to start hating Nintendo?
All right, so let's rewind a little bit back to November-ish of last year. Big House Online, which, for context, you know, Super Smash Bros. Melee came out in the GameCube back in 2001. It has since then, like, consistently, even to this day, seen an active competitive scene. People still play this game competitively, and, you know, esports teams still sponsor professional players in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with COVID, you know, obviously, a GameCube game in 2001 doesn't have a built-in online capability. Well, it was made, you know, not before the internet, but, like, before video games plus internet was, like, a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
So, like, from, like, the start of COVID to around maybe that summer, like, summer 2020, Melee struggled because, like, they had figured out a way to, like, play the game online, but it was kind of sketchy. It wasn't exactly stable, and it felt like playing two games just because if you're at all familiar with Melee, it is a very technically demanding game. Everything has to be incredibly precise. And when you're playing online and it's kind of sketchy using delay-based netcode, which nowadays is kind of an outdated form of netcode, especially for fighting games, which require as much precision as they do, it feels like you're playing two completely different games. And normally what happens with something like that on delay-based netcode is things become not as precise, and it skews things more towards defensive play. That was until something called Slippy came out. It was, technically, it is not a mod for the game itself that you play on the emulator. It is a mod for the emulator itself, which is why Nintendo can't sue the creator of it. And it allowed people to play Super Smash Bros. Melee with something called rollback netcode, which I won't get into all the technical details of it.
Your audience, and also anyone else who ever listens to it, will not know a single thing about what I'm talking about. But to give you the gist of it, it makes it really, really good to play online. There is very little difference now between playing the game online on an emulator versus playing the game, you know, on a normal TV. Offline. There's not a whole lot of difference now. It makes the game very playable how it normally is. Since that came out, Melee found sort of a renaissance during the COVID era. And it kind of just, you know, it kept doing its thing, and then you know, people were planning online major tournaments and whatnot, and around November it was a tournament called the Big House. The Big House has been a staple in the Melee community for literal years. I think this is like 2010. So the one last year would have been like the 10-year anniversary of it.
Yeah.
And it's always been a big deal of tournament. It was always like, okay, that's the last major tournament of the year. You better get your shit together for it. And they were going to go online because of COVID. And Nintendo saw that. And in the past, Big House, you know, and the tournament organizers behind it have partnered with Nintendo, and Nintendo helped them out a little bit, but honestly not a whole lot. But
yeah,
basically, they did that mainly for the purpose of Nintendo can't fuck with us when we do our offline tournaments.
Yeah.
Online, they did. They sent them a cease and desist, and Juggle Guy, the lead tournament organizer, had to shut down the tournament. And Nintendo released a statement of it, and it was the most, like, corporatized, bullshit, you know, PR statement you can ever think of that blatantly lies.
I don't know why we have any hope in corporations anymore. It is a giant corporation. I understand, like, people are fans of Nintendo games and stuff like that, but, like, also, it is still a corporation, and they do shady-ass shit in the back.
Exactly. and just, they're over here like, oh, they're playing things illegally through, you know, emulators. It's like, technically, I mean, you can play a game legally on an emulator. You can take an actual disc of that game, rip the ROM off of it, and play it on an emulator on a computer. Yeah. Emulating a game is not illegal. Getting a, like, a copy of the ROM online is. Here's the thing. There's people who, you know, go online and look for, you know, ROMs online of a game. That's illegal. However, it's like downloading music back in, like, 2006, where they were all about that. As no one's going to enforce it, because there's no way to really enforce it, other than just shutting down sites and whatnot. But even then, the thing that's been the golden rule of the internet since it began is once it's on there, it's going to stay on there.
Once on the internet, always on the internet.
Yeah.
So, no, Nintendo lied about, oh, these people are playing the game illegally on emulators. And it's like, no, a lot of these people, because they are professional Melee players, and considering Melee has had a competitive community since 2002, a lot of them have bought multiple copies of this game and have actually ripped their ROMs off of their discs and onto their computers. There's a lot of people who are playing it 100% legally, and you legally can't go after the guy behind Rollback Netcode, because that's not something that they did for the game. That's something they did to the emulator itself playing the game. But, like, that happened, and that was a big deal, because, like, at that time, there was another, like, major tournament going on, and they were really scared that, like, they're going to shut this thing down, too, and we literally have everything already in place for it. Thankfully, they didn't shut that tournament down, but, like, that happened. And then another document came out. Like, there have been times in the past, throughout the Smash community's, like, the Smash competitive community's history, where, you know, the community has tried to work with Nintendo, you know, that we want their help, we want their assistance, because it'll help the community thrive. But yeah, during the history, you know, the community has wanted to work with Nintendo, and Nintendo always finds a way to go behind our back and fuck us over, whether it's back in 2008, when MLG, which at that time, you know, esports were still in their infancy, MLG was the biggest company really taking an interest in it. And, you know, they wanted to run a circuit for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. That was the Smash on the Wii that had literally, like, just come out. And Nintendo said, nope, you're not allowed. For no other reason other than, we don't want you to. There's no benefit it has for us canceling it, but we just don't want you to do it. Like, there was that. There was, you know, in 2013, a lot of people in the Smash community weren't exactly happy with Super Smash Bros. Brawl, because it wasn't a lot like Melee. That's why after Brawl came out, Melee still had a very active competitive scene. In 2013, a mod for Super Smash Bros. Brawl came out called Project M, and it was like a mix of the two. Its aim was to get both, like, player bases to play this game. That came out. It was a mod. Obviously, nothing like no Nintendo. Nintendo was involved in the mod, obviously. Yeah. And no, it took off. It was great. As someone who's played it, it's a lot of fun. Just because there's so many characters and it's so fast paced and it's a ton of fun. And then that game had an active player base till around 2015 or so. In late 2014, no, Super Smash Bros. Brawl was dead because Super Smash Bros. For Wii U had come out. So that was the new game. Normally throughout Smash's competitive history, Melee has always just kind of done its thing, and then there's the people who just play whatever the newest Smash game is, whether it's Brawl.
That'd be me.
Yeah, whether it's Brawl, whether it's Smash 4, or whether now it's currently Smash Ultimate. But for a brief period, there was, you know, there were people playing Melee, there were people playing Smash 4, and there were people playing Project M. And then in 2015, Nintendo went to a lot of the tournament organizers of tournaments that were still running Project M events and told them to stop. They said, we will shut down this tournament if you keep doing this. And those tournament organizers didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
They had to stop playing, they had to stop running Project M events, and eventually Project M just died for several years until lately where it made a resurgence. So Nintendo fucked us over on that. And then it came out that, you know, MLG wanted to run a circuit for Smash 4 and for Smash Melee in 2014. Nintendo didn't want to do that. They put a stop to that. Keep in mind, there's no benefit for them canceling these events or not allowing these companies to run these events.
Yeah.
Twitch itself wanted to run a circuit for Smash Ultimate, like, or Smash 4 in 2017 to get people hyped about Smash Ultimate, which was coming out that Christmas, or yeah, like that Christmas season. And Nintendo fainted the appearance that they were going to work with Twitch, and they just stopped responding to any sort of attempt that Twitch had to connect with them or get a hold of them or whatever.
Wow.
And eventually they're just like, eh, project fell through, whatever. It just pisses
They really me. Said no to basically free advertising.
Pretty much. Like, it would have gotten people more hyped for Smash Ultimate than they already were. And if in 2018, people were super hyped about Smash Ultimate.
Any Maybe more they didn't realize how popular, like, streamers actually were.
I don't know. Nintendo's always been very behind on their stuff. Just because, I mean, Smash Ultimate came out in 2018. It still uses delay-based netcode. The online for it is fucking ass. And that's, you know, an official Nintendo thing. They had a development team work on that.
Yeah.
Fast forward to summer 2020, and one guy made rollback netcode for 21 for a, at the time 19-year-old game, and it runs perfectly. And legally, Nintendo can't touch him.
We love that.
I think the funniest part, another funny part, is okay. The whole free Melee thing happened, and Big House gets canceled. Actually, another thing that Nintendo did, I know I'm hopping around a lot, but it'll make sense. Back in 2013, EVO is a big deal to any fighting game. It is.
Yeah.
EVO is the Super Bowl of fighting games. That is the Super. That's the Super Bowl for them. If your game is at EVO, that's amazing. They have 9 slots for their main events. And in 2013, they had 1 slot open for a game. And they decided, hey, whatever community can raise enough money for breast cancer research will be the 9th slot. And Melee got it. Tons of people from the community went into tons of debt to try and get Super Smash Bros. Melee into that event. Because at that point in time, Melee was kind of in a dark age.
Yeah.
Just because the game wasn't modern, a lot of people were quitting, and all that stuff. But getting Melee at EVO on the big screen in front of all these people might revitalize the community, and which it did. But Nintendo had to be Nintendo. They contacted EVO, and they said, we don't want you running this. You guys can have the tournament, but we don't want that game up on stream, which that would basically kill the point of having the tournament. Other than just, oh, you get the prize money at the tournament, which wouldn't have been much. There would be nothing from it. Then they said, don't do it at all. And then that happened, and the internet blew up about it. It shit in Nintendo's face. It made them look horrible because this community, which raised all this money for breast cancer research, and you're doing nothing but shitting in their face. You're doing nothing but harm to them. And they've done nothing but be generous at this point in time, you know, be generous and do things out of the kindness of their heart and raise almost $100,000 for charity.
Wow.
And Nintendo shit in their face. And Nintendo, in less than a day, backed out on their decisions to fuck with the Evo tournament. And Super Smash Bros. Melee would go on to be at Evo, and from there, that was it. Did exactly what people thought it would do. It sparked a renaissance for the community.
I mean, that part's good for the players.
Yeah, it was great. 2013 was a big year for Smash in general, because we got Project M, there was Evo, and there was also a documentary that came out called The Smash Brothers. This is how a lot of people got into it. It was a documentary of what people call the Golden Age, which was like 2002 to like 2007 or so.
Okay.
And it went into detail about all the good players at that point in time. And a lot of people hooked onto that documentary. They found it fascinating that there was just this community, and there was all these people who had they were good characters, and a lot of people saw that documentary and went to go into the community itself, including myself. I wouldn't come around until a little bit later, though. But a lot of people who got into the scene because of Evo or because of the documentary, we now refer to them as Doc Kids. they're the Doc Kids.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just recently discover all this, or have you hated Nintendo for like years?
Nintendo, a lot of the big spark was the Big House thing back in 2020. But a lot of this stuff that I've said here wasn't known until then, like, except by a handful of people who didn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
Like the Evo thing, that was known. People knew about that because that blew up immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was Evo and the internet completely blew up about it. But the stuff about like Project M just slowly dying because Nintendo told those tournament organizers, hey, don't have that game mode anymore. That wasn't known, or like really well known, until after that. And the circuit that Twitch was going to run, the circuit that MLG and Red Bull were going to run, those weren't known until a bit later, because a Twitlogger came out on Twitter just completely dumping on all of it, dumping all that information out by,
I guess, just done.
Yeah, by some like.
They were just done.
Well, that, because it was by like the Twitter account that put that out it's a burner account, and its name is Anonymous Smasher 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced, like, I've watched this community grow since 2007 or whatever, and he's like, I've worked at Nintendo. So it's like, we've got this, like, Nintendo insider dumping all of this knowledge onto us or whatever.
We love that.
I know, it was great. Because, like, there was an entire... Like, at that point, everyone's, like, fuck Nintendo boners were already pretty erect because of the Big House thing.
Uh-huh.
So now that just made everyone hate it.
This person was, like, waiting. for the right time to release this information.
And I think that's mentioned in that Twitlogger. Where it's like, yeah, I waited for this because I wanted to get all my facts straight, and I wanted to, I wanted to wait for the good time to do this. But the Evo thing happened in 2013, and we thought, in 2020, we can get the same thing to happen for the Big House. We couldn't get that. The internet blew up about it, but Nintendo stuck by their stupid decision. So in response, Ludwig, he's an incredibly big Twitch streamer.
I do know him.
Ludwig Ogren. I love the dude to death. I've actually had a few interactions with him.
Oh, really?
Way back when. I'm talking like 2015, because he was a Doc Kid.
Oh.
He came from Melee. He started with us, and he rose to the top, and he's helped us along the way, because now he's one of the top like five streamers on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, I think for a bit, because of his subathon, he hit the number one most subscribed channel on Twitch.
I kept seeing TikToks about that.
Mm-hmm.
People just watching him sleep.
Yep. But like, he came from us. And in response to the whole Big House thing, Ludwig said, okay, we're going to run a charity tournament. He organized a tournament, and he said, okay, whoever wins gets to donate $20,000 to a charity of their choice. And if Nintendo wants to shut it down, I'll run another tournament, and I'll run another tournament, and I'm going to keep running tournaments until they don't shut me down. They didn't shut down the tournament he suggested, but it was like another just like, fuck Nintendo sort of thing. And I think also a little bit before that, Splatoon. It's like that shooter game on Switch with like the squids or whatever. Their community, they had events, and they were doing an event, like an official Nintendo event. Like, they were running it, and a bunch of the players on a bunch of the teams had, like, hashtag safe smash, hashtag free melee in their tags, in their names in-game. And Nintendo didn't like that. So they shut down the tournament. Or they shut down the stream for that tournament. So what a bunch of those players did is they dropped out of the tournament, and an esports org called Endgame TV, who's got a couple of Melee players, they ran a tournament and raised like $20,000 as a prize pool for all the teams that dropped out of the tournament, and they planned all that in like a day. So that was just like, okay, it's not just us who knows Nintendo is full of shit. It's the Splatoon community. They also know they're full of shit.
Wait, when was this?
Like right after the Big House stuff.
Okay.
Like right after it. Or not like right after. Maybe like a little bit after. Because I think it was probably... It was before LACS3, which was Ludwig's tournament. Mm-hmm. That was in December. And the Big House stuff happened in November. So it had to have been a little bit after that. Like before LACS3, I know.
Okay.
It was maybe a couple weeks or so after Big House got shut down.
Do you think all this like was able to blow up because we were in a pandemic and people had nothing else better to do with their lives? That sounds so bad, but like you know what I mean? Like,
that's kind of it. Just because, you know, so many people, a lot of Melee people when COVID hit, you know, kind of lost hope because like, what do? We don't have good online. And then Slippy came along and summer, it's like Melee is saved. We can play our game again.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, you know, people latched onto that because, you know, it's the one good thing they have because they lost a job because of COVID. They hate being at their house all the time.
Yeah.
And that, but at least they can play Melee again and watch their favorite players like Mango and Zane and Hungrybox and whoever play Melee again, you know, even during this pandemic. That's the one thing they had. And then, you know, Nintendo came along and started fucking with it and there was an uproar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever participated in any tournaments?
Yes. Not like big tournaments, but like locals. Local
stuff.
Have
you won?
No.
Oh.
I loved it. For Melee, no. For Ultimate, I've gotten close.
Okay.
I didn't really compete a whole lot in Smash 4 or Smash Wii U because I don't like Smash Wii U. It's too slow. There's a lot of jank, which Ultimate also, Smash Ultimate also has jank, but like I fuck with Smash Ultimate. I like it. Melee, I love Melee to death. I still watch it pretty much every day. But in terms of playing it, I mean, I'll do it from time to time. But I can't. I think a big part is, and I know it's weird saying this, even though I'm like 21, I'm getting old. Melee is a game that will fucking destroy your hands.
Oh.
It is that intense on you. It can fuck your hands up. We've had players get, you know, develop like weird forms of arthritis because of the game. I can't play the game. I couldn't play Melee now, like for more than an hour before my hands just like, okay, I can't take this anymore. My hands hurt. With Ultimate, I can play that. I my hands don't hurt when I play that.
Yeah.
That's why I play a lot more Ultimate now because physically, I'd love to play Melee.
You're just old.
I'm getting old.
You're only 21.
I know. And I know there's players who are way older than me.
Their hands are trained for it right now. They're
trained for it. And yeah, I started playing Melee back in like 2015. I love my getting into Melee story. I'll get to that in a bit. But I played a lot during 2015, 2016. During part of 2017, but then I graduated from high school, and it's like, oh shit, I have to like
do life.
Adult. Yeah, I have to participate in life, which I really don't want to. Like I have to be, you know, I have to contribute to society and go make money and shit. I didn't play for years until COVID, and you know, roll back netcode, and it's like, okay, the game is now more accessible than ever. You can literally play it for free on your computer. You can get the emulator. I mean, and get the ROM offline, which technically is illegal, but who the fuck cares?
No one needs to know.
Hey, man, it is in a court of law, it is up to them to prove that I got that ROM of Melee illegally. But I own copies of Melee, and I can just tell them, hey, I ripped that off that disc.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have several copies of Melee. You can't sit here and tell me.
Like, you already put the money in the game.
Yeah. Also, it's at this point, almost 20-year-old game. You aren't seeing money from it anyway.
Yeah.
But now, with the game being so much more accessible, it's so much easier to get new people in. Mm-hmm. Especially with Slippy. A handful of things. A, back then we had the Dot Kids, and now we have like a new generation called like the Slippy Kids. That's not exactly their name, but that's probably the best name for them because of Slippy, and because of Ludwig, because he's so big now, and he's always helping the community. He never forgot where he came from. Because again, I remember seeing him doing round one pools commentary with Slime way back in like 2018 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
back when he was a nobody. No one knew who Ludwig was, and now everyone knows who Ludwig is.
I mean, to be honest, I only know who he is because of the Among Us streams.
Yeah.
Back when Among Us was,
popular. Yeah. Again, the fact that he's over here, you know, bumping elbows with, Jacksepticeye and, you know, Corpse Husband and all these...
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. Literally Mr. YouTube himself until T-Series took over. But, like, he's bumping elbows with all these big shots. And next thing you know, the next day, he's playing, you know, Melee with some random Melee player who most of his audience don't even know who they are. But because he's playing with them, they might go check him out.
That's true.
Or, you know, Ludwig might talk about, you know, I know whenever there's, like, a big major tournament, Ludwig will dedicate his stream to watching that tournament.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And he'll sit there and give his own commentary and whatnot, which... Ludwig's not the best player in the world, but, like, he knows what he's talking about.
But now we have the Slippy Kids because of Slippy making the game accessible and because of Ludwig getting all these fucking crackhead Zoomers into the game. Hey, man. Those crackhead Zoomers will eventually...
These kids weren't even born when the game was made.
I know. We have top players who are younger than the game they are really good at.
I mean, to be fair, we're barely older than the game.
That's true. But still, like... We're older than it a little bit.
Just a little bit. A couple years.
Yeah. These kids get into it through Ludwig streaming, and I got into the game through Apex 2015. It was... I remember like it was yesterday. It was like the first big tournament of 2015. And it was the first big tournament for Smash for Wii U, because that had just come out like... the Christmas before, or I think like November before, but no big tournaments are going on in December because Christmas and the holidays, and it sucks to travel at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So they waited until January, they had Apex 2015. And that tournament was already kind of a shit show, but it was a beautiful tragedy because it did so much for the scene, and it ended up being a shit show because a tournament's only 3 days. They have, you know, pools and all that, just to get it down to top 64 brackets.
Yeah.
And then day two is going to be top 64 bracket, and day three is like top eight. There was a mistake in the venue, and it turns out that A, it wasn't meant to hold that many people, and B, the roof was collapsing. So they had to find a new venue. Shout outs to Twitch for getting the new venue, because they're the ones who did it. Then they got a new venue and had to consolidate 3 days of tournament into just 2 days. But leading into that tournament, there was already so much going on with Melee scene. At that point in time, we were in something called the Era of the Five Gods. And it was because there were five players in particular who were... They were untouchable, for the most part. They were the best five players of the game. It was rare for some... Most of the time... Every major tournament was won by one of those five people. And it was very rare for them to lose to people other than each other. And any time they lost to someone who was outside of that coveted five gods, like, group, was big news. And at that point in time, there was someone who was coming along who was threatening to be the sixth god. Because he was going to be the sixth god. Because he was, like, the gods had to be scared of him. Because at that point in time, up until, like, at Apex 2015, when that tournament started, he had already beaten four of the gods. He had beaten four of them and only had one left to beat before it's like, yeah, I've beaten all the gods. I think I'm a god now.
That's fair.
I got in because that, like, six god person got into some beef with another pro player. The other pro player was, he was an old school player. He had been playing the game since, like, 2004, 2003. Real, real old, which at that point in time, it was, you didn't see a lot of the old, old school people around. They had all retired from the game, or they just weren't relevant anymore. He was an interesting guy. He's a very interesting guy. He does commentary now. He's given up being a pro player just because he can't keep up. He's getting kind of old. He's in his 30s now.
He's quitting while he's ahead.
Yeah. But at that point in time, he was still, like, a pro player. At that point in time, because, you know, Evo and the Smash Doc were still fresh in everyone's head, esports orgs were getting involved in the scene. They were sponsoring our top players. Yeah. That one in particular had just gotten sponsored by Team Liquid. And he got into some beef with the Sixth God, and in response to the beef, they said, okay, Apex 2015 comes around, $100 money match, first to five, so like a best of nine. And they're like, okay, before that, the old school player made a diss track called Respect Your Elders.
Oh, God.
And I, first of all, I'm pretty sure you know the lyrics, because I remember there was a day where someone in the server was being a little asshole, and I typed all of the lyrics in the Discord server.
I didn't remember.
Not lawful. Make this pussy stop talking.
Yeah.
And that diss track, keep in mind, I'm like 15. And this, like, cringy, looking back at it, the diss track is pretty cringy. At least the lyrics are. I feel like
most diss tracks are cringy.
Yeah, but like, 15 years old, I thought it was the hypest shit in the world. I thought it was so cool. Like, this guy got into some beef someone over a video game, and in response, he made a diss track about it. And that generated hype. That's how I got into it, because I thought the song was fire. I'm like, I gotta tune in for this money match. Apex 2015, I'm rooting for the old school player. And he can't even take a single game. He gets fucking destroyed. It's absolutely hilarious. The sick god puts him in his fucking place. 5-0. There was one game that was kind of close, but he still lost it, and it was just downhill from there. Like, but that tournament was what got me into the scene. I saw, hey, there was this cool narrative going on, these guys getting into beef and a diss track, and then the money match. It's like, I thought that was so hype. And then that's what got me into it. Little did I know, at that point in time, there was a bunch of narratives going into that tournament. Whether, you know, it was one of the five gods who had taken a hiatus, who at that point in time was coming back. He was coming back to prove, I've still got it. I'm still one of the gods, baby. And he ended up winning the whole tournament. By beating the other, at that point in time, the strongest of the gods, or what people consider the strongest of the gods, and the sixth god. So he beat their asses and won the whole tournament. There was also, you know, after that money match, you know, if you've ever heard anybody say, my B, it is because of that money match. That is where that phrase has come from. My B.
Oh.
That is where that came from. My B, that's where it came from. Or that's where it, like, got popularized. Because the announcer, you know, he goes up, okay, chillin', you got anything to say to Leffen after he fucking destroyed you? And he said, my B, and walked away. That was it. And later, in a stream, he revealed, like, I just wanted to get off that stage in as few syllables as I could. So I said, my B. But after that money match, one of the other gods, his name is Mango. He is the America. He's super American. Like, very patriotic, kind of. Not, like, MAGA American, but, like, he's proud that he's American.
Okay.
But not in, like, a bad way.
He's patriotic, and at the time it was just patriotic.
Yeah, now it's more than just that.
Yeah.
You know, he's very American, and at that point in time, he had, like, just gotten beaten by the Sixth God at a tournament that was, like, maybe a few weeks before this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he hops on stage after the old school player walks off. The announcer's like, Mango has a few words for you. Ooh, Leffen, who's like the sixth god, or at that point in time, he was the god slayer, because he was someone who'd come along and beat the gods without being one of them himself. And you know, Mango's like, okay, this guy, he came to my country, and he beat me. Then he comes to my country, you gotta humiliate my man like that, 5-0, take his $100. If we meet in bracket, we're going to put $1,000 on it. Ah! And then, like, that made everyone hype. Because it was, like, some shit you'd see in, like, a WWE thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, okay.
It was just gaming.
He hopped on stage. The announcer gave him the mic. And he's like, $1,000 if we play in bracket. Come at me. he ended up losing $1,000. But, like, it was hype just to see that kind of narrative going on.
Yeah. Do you think he did it for publicity, or do you think he, like, actually did it because he thought he could win?
No, there was a story behind that, because one of the guy who was running the stream, his name is Gibber, and Gibber went up to Mango, he said, hey, if Chillin loses this, like, gets completely fucking destroyed, can you go on stage and do something to make it look cool? And Mango's like, okay, I got you. So, like, it was planned for him to go up there, kind of.
But that was if he won.
Yeah, that was if in the money match the old school player got fucking destroyed, which he got absolutely destroyed.
Okay.
So like he kind of had that planned out, like, okay, I'll go up there and do something for the crowd. Gimmer didn't go up there and expect Mango to put $1,000 on the line, but it was
works.
Exactly. That's Gimmer got what he wanted, and he wanted to entertain the crowd. He didn't think it'd go like that, but hey, it worked.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Like, this WWE event happened. Or WWE type event happened at some little Smash tournament. It made everyone go insane. Like that, I remember seeing that, like, live on stream. That was really what hooked me in there.
And I'm now, trying to imagine your reaction.
I popped off. That was fucking hype as shit.
Do you think there's gonna be an increase of popularity in esports? Like, there, we've already seen that. Like, yeah. I still don't see esports. Like, I know that it exists, but I still see, like, football and baseball more.
Yeah.
Than esports. I don't think I've ever actually seen an esports tournament.
I feel it's not going to have a big explosion in popularity like I think it already kind of had a couple years ago, mainly because of stuff like Dota and League of Legends. I think its popularity increase will be steady unless something insane happens. I think it'll just slowly become a bigger and bigger thing.
I guess it goes with, like, the evolution of technology, and as technology grows and gets better, games will get better and better, which means the community around it would also get bigger.
Yeah, that works.
So yeah, I guess steady increase makes sense.
Yeah, I think it'll slowly get better, bigger over time.
Yeah,
but I still feel like, at least in our lifetime, it will never, like, usurp, like, normal, like, baseball and, you know, normal sports. I think those are so ingrained in, especially American culture.
Yeah. Like, for example, my brother, he plays video games. Most of the stuff he plays are, like, sports games.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like...
I'm not a big sports game guy, but, like, I get the appeal. It's just not me.
I mean, I'm not a gamer. I play a couple of games.
You play Among Us, Genshin.
Yeah. I don't even play Among Us anymore.
Yeah, we don't play it anymore. Yeah.
Genshin. Like, there's some people. Genshin I still play, but that's, like, the only thing I play.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I honestly, I don't even, like, even try to bother playing other games.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, some, like, mobile games I'll try out for, like, a month, and then I'll get bored of.
Yeah.
But that's it. But yeah, most of the games that we have in our house is, like sports video games.
Yeah.
We do have, like, some Mario stuff, but that was mainly for me.
Okay.
like when we were kids, you know, like Mario parties.
Yeah.
Mario Kart. It's still a fun party game.
Yeah. But yeah, over time it'll slowly get bigger unless something crazy happens. And even then, like every scene, as long as like, oh, there's new game, there's no new Madden or new FIFA games, those communities will still continue to slowly just kind of rise more and more.
Yeah.
They'll continue to grow.
I mean, that's like a decent intro game for people that are just sports fans.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like they also go for like shooting games like COD and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Even then, like a lot of games, I feel like a lot of modern games are simple in a way. Because COD is not fucking rocket science. You run around, you shoot people. There's yep. different modes you can play, like capture the flag or whatever.
Yep.
And there's a lot of games that are on the surface level pretty simple, like Smash. Mm-hmm. But then you try to get deep into it, and there's a learning curve.
Yeah. And yeah. See, when I play anything Smash, it's just button Smash. That's yeah. what I do. It's in the name.
Yeah. And it worked on a casual level.
Does it work?
On a casual level?
Yeah, I guess. Like in the context in which I'm playing it.
Yeah.
It's good enough. Doesn't make me win. But it's just to participate.
Yeah, you're playing casually. You're not really aiming to win. You're probably just aiming to just enjoy.
Well, okay, I get competitive. Like in small groups. Like I'm not gonna try and train to like be in like tournaments and competitions like that. But like yeah. with my friends and family, I'm gonna be like, no, I'm a win. I'm a yeah. win today. But yeah. Have you ever tried like VR games?
Yes. At where, you know, I've worked for 4 years. Way back when, before we shut down in 2019, for a bit. I was the head of the VR. We had like a virtual reality area for guests to mm-hmm. play in. And after sometime in the summer of 2018, I became like the head of that area. So I feel
nice.
I've got a good amount of VR experience. I like it. I feel like it's still kind of niche, and maybe over yeah. time it will grow into something that's a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things that not a lot of people have, like, the space for.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people... Because, like, the point of us having it where I worked was, you know, if you want to try it, but you don't have it yourself, because the equipment yeah. can be expensive, or you need a good computer, or you just need to have the space for it.
Yeah. A lot of factors.
Yeah, there's a lot out of, you know, variables and factors you have going into it.
Yeah.
That you have to worry about.
Yeah. The only time I've ever tried, like, a VR headset, I don't even think it was a game. It was, like, so our university always has, like, Halloween events and, like haunted houses / walkthrough things, right?
Uh-huh.
So one of them, I think, like, my freshman year, they had, like, one part of it that was just, like, a VR headset. You didn't have to do it, but, like, I wanted to, so you just put it on, you see a bunch of scary things, you scream or you don't scream.
Okay, that one's more like an experience, because like
like it wasn't like a game.
Yeah, yeah, the games you'll have, like, you know, the headset, you'll have controllers in your hands and all yeah. that.
They have like a station in like the Windows store in our mall. Well, they actually closed the Windows store in our mall, but when it used to be there, I think I tried to get in line for that when I was like a minor, mm-hmm. when the Windows store first opened in our mall, but I didn't have my parents with me. Because, you know, like, we're summer babies.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to be younger than the people in our, like, year.
Yeah, I get that. Even though I was born in August, I'm still basically a summer baby. Because
I mean, summer ends in September, but...
I always think of summer, I'm like, oh, August is when we all have to go back to school once it was over.
I mean, like, but that's the thing. We turned the next year, like, right before school started. So we were always going to be, like, the younger people, except for people that were born like a couple months later, but
yeah,
or like skipped a year. Yeah. All my friends were already 18 and they got to try the VR experience, and I was like, I don't have my mom with me, but I drove myself here.
I hated being young, because like, again, I didn't turn 18 till like 3 months after I graduated.
Our birthdays are like a week apart.
I keep forgetting that shit.
Yeah.
but I hated it. I got out of high school, and I was expected to do adult stuff, but I can't do adult stuff, or all the adult stuff I cared about doing.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. And then I turned 18 the day of my freshman move-in, so I had no friends either.
Oh, that's rough.
And as a freshman, you had to move in on that day. Yeah. Unless you had, like, a special reason to not, like, if you were coming from, like, a different state or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fun. It wasn't really, but I met my friends that I'm still friends with that day.
Well, I mean, there's something.
Do you have an LIT for today? It doesn't have to be like today.
It's nice out.
Okay, Casey, okay.
Yes, the guy who doesn't go outside is going to say it's nice outside.
It's actually really hot in this room.
I'm trying to think. How recent does it have to be?
Like the past couple of months?
I don't know. Probably just our whole relationship thing in general. Just because, like, yeah, it was shitty, but, like, I came out of it, like, a better person, I feel.
Like, you're in a good relationship.
Yeah.
Even if the
process of
leading up to it.
Yeah, we're pretty shit, but, like,
yeah.
On the other side of the tunnel, it ended up okay. It ends up good.
So my LIT, I don't even know if you consider it an LIT because I'm not that close to him, but my brother's home for a week because he's in between his clinicals.
That's
good. He has, like, a week break before he... So he was in Detroit for his first round of clinicals. It's like the second half of med school where he just goes to different hospitals and tests different, like, specialties. Tests different specialties at the hospitals to see what he wants to, like, do residency and, like, specialize in when he becomes a doctor.
Okay.
So he finished his first round, and now he does this in Detroit, and now he does his next two in somewhere in New York. So it's, like, close to home, but he's still going to get an apartment because it'll be, like, 6 months, I think. Uh-huh. But yeah. He's here for a week. We're supposed to go out for dinner. I just saw him leave the house, so...
He's going to eat without you. Bye.
I think he was at the tennis courts, actually. With the friend. But he might go out for dinner, too. We don't know. This is kind of off topic, but he's 4 years older than me, so... And he's also August. Uh-huh. So he's about to turn 27. And I don't know if he's ever dated. And there's nothing wrong with never dating, but it's like...
You think at that point someone would have at least, you know, tried it or something?
Yeah, and, like, at the end of the day, I know that he could have dated and I just don't know. Because that's very common, especially in Indian house or, like, Asian households where we just don't tell our family about, like, partners until it becomes serious or if it becomes serious.
I mean, I do that in my household, but that's, like, if I would go for a guy or, yeah.
I mean, I grew up not even being allowed to talk to guys. Although, now that I think about it, like, what were they going to do if I was gay? Or I guess they'd...
I don't know, man. I mean, you didn't grow up in, like, a super white conservative asshole, you know, house. So they wouldn't have been like, oh, we're going to pray the gay away or beat the gay out of you. Like, they tried with me, but...
I mean, I don't need to be gay for me to be beat, but that's a different day. but I remember like when my brother was a freshman in college, so I was a freshman in high school. He had, like, come back, and my dad was, like, joking, and he was like, oh, like, when are you gonna get a girlfriend? Or like, are you gay? Like, blah blah blah, like, as a joke. But I'm like, if he was gay, why would he feel comfortable coming out to you as gay if you're making jokes like that? Right?
Yeah. But again, parenting pisses me off, again, because, like, there's that, there's, you know, oh, your kid's kind of an introvert, they stay in the room a lot, and then when they do come out of the room, they're like, hey, look, the caveman came out of the cave. That's kind
Dude,
of...
Dude, same! My dad calls me Sleeping Beauty when I leave my room at 3 p.m., even though I've been up for hours.
Yeah, like, don't make that comment, you're gonna make them want to go back in. It's those kind of comments that make them not want to do that.
I don't think they realize. And I tell my parents, like, I've been telling my parents every time they do or say something that makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Or, like, even, like, things that they used to say or things that they still say. And, like, I understand it now and I could get it over it now. But, like, as a kid, that's not how I thought about it.
Yeah.
Like I got the same sort of shit. And
yeah,
now that I'm an adult and my dad is still raising two kids, because I still find the story of how I have my youngest little brother to be fucking hilarious, where him as an adult didn't know what I knew at the time when I was like 12, that you don't birth control and antibiotics. They don't, he did not know that. He did not know that as a grown adult as when I did at like 12.
Wait, your father?
Yes, he did not know that as a grown adult.
How old is your sibling?
He is now... Austin is what? I think like seven?
Names, Casey, names!
It's fine.
You're like, it's just my brother, it's fine. Yeah.
He's like seven?
Okay.
He's like, he's still pretty young.
Yeah, no, because Pet has a large age difference.
Yeah.
I don't know, we talked about it on his episode, I believe. I think I mainly want him to date openly with my parents so that I can do it. But, like, I also have been doing that. Not to my dad. Like, my dad doesn't know shit. But, like, sometimes when I go out on dates, I just tell my mom. I'm like, I'm going on a date. Bye.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell her when I come back.
Yeah. Or there's you tell her and there's just this unspoken rule between you two where you don't tell dad.
Oh, yeah. 100%. We know how he'll react. But then, okay, the only reason I started telling my mom that I date was because she used to describe me as undesirable and that men would never want to date me because I'm fat.
Damn, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I'm like, Mom, I'm fat, but people want to date me. See, I have a list.
I mean, I never got that, but like, I remember my senior year. Well, no, because my stepmom literally said, you're never going to get anyone when you're rail thin like that. You need to eat more. When I was a senior. I know. And she wondered why I hated her for all these years. Well, I mean, I don't hate her now, but like, she wonders why I hated her for all those years.
Yeah. To be honest, I think girls are less picky in the long run about what a guy looks like than what a girl... Obviously not all guys, but like...
I've noticed. I have a girlfriend.
Yeah,
I've noticed. Y'all are
ugly.
I am not, you know, the most desirable in the world.
But you're the. Is she bi?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you fit the basic bi girl dating gamer boy.
The golden retriever gamer boy.
Gamer boy. Yeah. That's exactly what you are.
Oh God, I'm blonde. It makes sense.
With long hair.
Shit.
Okay. I know that you're not technically out to your family, but how is it being bi in Ohio?
It's... I mean, I think it's a weird question, because I live in, like, South Ohio. So, like, we are basically just Northern Kentucky.
Isn't Kentucky still? I don't know. I've never been in these regions.
Kentucky is the South. They're the South. Yeah, I don't think there's any like
that. They look like a fried chicken leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the people. I'm talking about the shape of the state. If people were unaware.
Yeah, but I don't know. Also, considering like I'm in a pretty conservative family with a lot of people who come from Kentucky. It's not great. I know there's someone in my stepmom's family who like she's gay, she's a lesbian, and they like don't talk to her a whole lot because of that, which I think is pretty shitty.
Do they acknowledge if she has a roommate?
I have no fucking idea.
Just call her a roommate. I don't know, that might just be a trip that I see on TV with the one lesbian aunt that apparently every family show has to have now with their roommate. Because Pat just sent a picture.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
They had a little pride picnic, and they have all these, like, homophobes on the side being like,
yeah.
Being gay is a sin.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
I also don't understand why, if someone else, to you, is sinning, why does that have to affect you?
Because of a lot of people's twisted, shitty view on Christianity and on religion in general, I feel. Like,
why can't people just mind their own business though? Like, if they think they're gonna go to hell,
a lot of
go to hell.
It's because a lot of people in America will shout religious freedom, but only when it comes to them being hateful and big, and like being a bigot. Even though, but like a lot of
Do they realize that what they're doing is basically you trying to deny their religious freedom?
Yeah. But they'll sit here and be like, well, America is a Judeo-Christian nation, which, by the way, that's not a word. It's just something that I believe Pat Buchanan came up with in, like, the 90s.
I mean, all words are at one point not a word. So.
Yeah, I know, but that's not a thing. Judeo-Christian is not a thing. It's a buzzword that conservatives throw around.
Okay.
But, it's a buzzword they throw around to acknowledge the fact, to be like, yeah, but this is a Christian nation. It's like,
sir.
Have you, the Founding Fathers didn't want the church to have too much power because of what happened over in England, or in Europe, and Europe in general.
Like, not just Europe, though. I mean, obviously for them, it was Europe, because they were all at some point European. But, like, all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they try to include religion in their policies and government, it just does not turn out well for at least one group of people.
Yeah, just America's a little behind on all that.
Which is sad, because we're supposed to be, like, one of the countries on the forefront of things, but yet we can't do shit.
Yep.
I think I should go now.
Alright.
Thank you for being on call.
No problem. This was fun. This was fun.
Yes. We need a go on call more often, but, like, normal calls when we're not being recorded.
Yeah.
not that I ever censor anything except for names, but...
Yeah.
You know. Uh-huh. We do miss you, KZ.
I'm trying to be more active, all right, but goddamn, I hate being an adult and shit.
Yeah, and I don't mean, like, on game nights, because on game nights, we're not talking about shit.
Yeah.
Until, like, it's way late and you're probably asleep. Because
now
we talk about everything and anything after, like, 2 a.m.
I can never stay up that late anymore. I went to bed at, like, 9 o'clock the other day, man. I'm working on it. Okay. I went to bed at nine. That's fucking you guys would look at me in the server and fucking laugh at me.
No, yeah. Okay. I fixed my sleep schedule sort of again, you know, the many times I've tried to fix my sleep schedule. Like 2 weeks ago when I went to Six Flags the first time, because I came back and I was just tired. It was like 10. That's a lie. I didn't sleep. I had friends over to drink. and then they left at, like, 1 or 2. I slept at 2. And then the next day, I slept early because I was still tired when I woke up. Mm. But, yeah. Anyway, normally I say goodnight, but it's not that late.
It's, like, 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock on the dot right now, actually.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me on Chat in the Dark. Good night, and chat with y'all next week. Bye. Good night.